Father, forgive us of our sins, Lord. And one of those sins is probably not remembering, not being thankful, taking for granted so many blessings that we have from you, and also those that we enjoy in our nation that have been secured by the sacrifices of other individuals. Lord, we pray that this morning, as we open your word, you'll open our hearts and our minds to your truth and guide us by your Spirit. We acknowledge before you together in agreement this morning that our nation has stumbled a long way from where we were originally founded. We didn't get there overnight, and we got there partly because we allowed it to happen. Because it was comfortable, it was okay, it didn't affect us personally at that moment, and we were okay by letting it go. But Father, help us not to be okay with the darkness, to not be okay with evil, to not be okay with the way of the world. Lord, we want to show your love and live your love, but we also want to live your truth. You've called us to be your salt and your light. Lord, help us to do that, to be that, to season the culture. We know that we can't save anyone, that we can't save the nation, we can't save the way we're going, but we know you can. And we pray that as we surrender to you, as we serve you, as we seek to be led by you, that you will do your will and your way, and that, Father, you can turn this nation around. We pray for our children and for our grandchildren, for generations ahead, Lord, that they will have the same freedoms that we do. But we know that it'll take an effort on our part to make sure those are secured for them. You've called us to service, Father. Help us not to shirk that service. Open our hearts and our minds this morning, Lord, to your truth and guide us by your Spirit. I pray, Father, that I would be your instrument here this morning. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to, Lord, be used by you. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which compel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So begins the Declaration of Independence and the birth of this nation. You will see prominently featured in that document, God. This nation, no matter what anyone may tell you, was founded upon belief in and adherence to the Word of God. Now, some scriptures we're going to look at this morning. First of all, from Matthew chapter 7, and I actually am going to start reading in verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now that is a familiar passage of Scripture to us, I hope. I want you to notice, though, in both of those main sections there, the same thing happened to both houses. Storms came. Now, this is applicable to our lives individually. As a matter of fact, that was the main focus here. It's to us individually. But it also applies to the nation. If the nation is built on the sand, the nation is going to crumble. Now, this nation, I have no doubt that this nation was founded on the rock. The problem is, we've moved. As a culture, we've moved off of the rock. And we've moved down to the sand. And we're trying to continue our construction on the sand. And the problem is, it's going to come crashing down around our ears if something is not done about it. If Jesus has not returned first, the nation doesn't have long to go if we continue on the path that we are headed. Another verse of Scripture from Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance. Amen. Any nation that is built upon anything other than the rock here, the being Jesus Christ, any nation, any life that is built on anything other than that will crumble. It is not a matter of if it will crumble. The only question is when will it crumble? And how great will the crumbling be? As you drive along the Gulf Coast, you can see these great big condominiums. Used to, you could see a lot of old, antebellum homes. You don't see those much anymore. But the same thing is true of all of those structures. It's not a matter of if a hurricane's going to hit them. The only question is, when is a hurricane going to hit them? We're going to have storms in our life. The only question is, what is our life built upon? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior personally? And if you do, then your life will bear evidence to that fact, and you're going to be living differently than the way of the world. We talked about in life groups this morning, partly about Romans chapter 12, that the world, the way of the world, Satan wants to mold you into his way of thinking, into his way of doing things. But Jesus wants to transform us by the renewing of our mind. We don't think the same, we don't act the same, we don't speak the same, because we are not the same. Now that's not saying we are perfect, because we're not, but it's saying we are saved and our life is built on the rock, who is Jesus Christ. And if our life is built on that rock, then we're going to live differently. We're going to look differently. We're going to be differently. We cannot be okay with the culture going to hell. Let me just be frank with you, okay? We cannot be okay as Christians with the culture headed to hell. And that's where we are headed. It seems like, oh, it's okay. It don't matter. It don't affect me personally. Yes, it does. Because your children, your grandchildren, may not be raised in the United States of America, because it may not still be here if we keep going the way we're going. If we, as a nation, as a culture, thumb our nose in the face of God, it's only a matter of time till judgment falls. You might say, well, God will forgive you for anything. And yes, we've talked about that before. He will forgive you. But the consequences of our actions are still there. Scripture says, do not be deceived. Scripture says, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he will reap. If you sow rutabagas, you're not going to get cucumbers. Now, my dad one time went to the farmer's market and thought he was buying turnips. He hates rutabagas, by the way. He thought he was buying turnips. They sold him the seed as turnips, but guess what they were when they came up? They were rutabagas. If we sow to the world, Scripture says we're going to reap the whirlwind. That means a tornado. Do you know what the land looks like after a tornado? That's what it's going to look like. That's what it's going to look like. Three things we want to look at this morning as we consider the bedrock of our nation. Now, this applies to your life individually as well as the nation. I don't want you to get the idea that I'm preaching just about the nation today. I'm preaching about us as individuals because the nation is made up of citizens and we are part of that. The first thing I want us to consider about the bedrock, the foundation that our nation is built upon, is the sovereignty. Now, you might say, the sovereignty of what? The sovereignty of God. Who and what rules in your life, and who and what rules in the affairs of man? It looks like today, when you look or on the news, when you talk to people out in the street, when you're out and about and consider and look and see what's going on, it looks like what rules in the hearts and minds of men today, by and large, is our fleshly appetites. Whatever we want is fine. Would you let your child eat candy all day long? If you did, they'd get sick, wouldn't they? They might want to. They might rather have that. But you're not going to let them do it because you care about them, I hope. Our fleshly appetites will get us into serious trouble. Amen? Into serious trouble. It's gotten us as a nation into serious, serious problems. Things that people don't even pay a second notice to today, used to, wouldn't ever even occurred. People talk and brag about stuff today that used to, if you did it, you wouldn't dare want anybody to know about it. How did we get there? One step at a time. One step at a time, thinking, oh, it's okay. Or thinking, it don't affect me, it's all right, I'm not going to pay any attention to it. You better pay attention to it because it's going to affect you. Oh, yeah, I've heard people say, you know, I don't care who's up there in Washington, it don't matter, it don't affect me. Grow up, yes, it does affect you. And they might say, well, my vote don't count. Yes, it does, it counts one. And sometimes it don't take but a few ones to make the difference, especially now because it seems like our nation is polarized, about 50-50 split. It makes a difference. Who and what rules in your life, and who and what rules in the life of the nation. Now I'm going to tell you, we shake our heads sometimes and say, how could so and so, how could this go on? Well, it goes on because we let it go on as people, as citizens of the nation. I guarantee you, if they did some of the stuff up there that they constantly are doing, if we voted them out of office, the next one would pay attention. The next one would pay attention. So, who and what rules in your life? A lot of times it seems like the pride of man, the so-called wisdom of man is what rules. We got it all figured out. We don't need God. Yeah, we do. The trouble is we've kicked God out of school. We kicked him out of government. We kicked him out of the public square. Well, guess what? When God is kicked out, guess who comes in? Satan. Satan will be glad to show up. He'll be there every day. And he will take you to hell with him. Let me ask you, do we call Jesus Lord? You know, he says right here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Just saying he's Lord don't make him Lord. You hear that? Just saying that he's your Lord does not make him your Lord. Having your name on a baptism certificate or a church roll does not mean he's your Lord. What makes him your Lord? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Not that we just say he is, but that we do his will. There's a difference in saying and doing, isn't there? You ever had a person, you ask them to do something, they say, yeah, I'll do it, and they don't go do it? They said they would, but they didn't do it. Well, just because we tell Jesus he's our Lord don't mean he is. Do we call him Lord, but not obey his words? Because his words are not just for Sunday morning. His words are not just for Wednesday evening. His words are for work day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for hobbies, for recreation, for wherever you go, whatever you do. His words are for 24/7, every day, everywhere. Is he our Lord, really? Look at your calendar. Look at your checkbook. Where you spend your time, where do you spend your energy, Where do you spend your money? That's who's the Lord of your life. That's who's the Lord of your life. And when we stand before Him, it's not going to be funny. There is going to be no second chance at that point in time. There's no second chance. I meant to do, I plan to do, don't count. You know the old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I absolutely believe that's true. I intended to. One of these days I'm going to, you know, I'll talk to people, they say, well, you know, I know I need to get in church. One of these days I'm going to be there. Well, one of these days you might get struck by lightning. There's no guarantee. Why not today? Why are you going to put it off? Why are you going to put it off? So let me ask you, who is the sovereign of your life? Really, who is in charge of your life? Because whoever's in charge of your life ultimately is going to be who's in charge of the nation. I'm going to tell you something. Does not matter which party's in control in Washington. Does not matter who sits in the White House. Doesn't matter who sits on the Supreme Court. Don't matter which party's in control of Congress, because Jesus Christ sits on the throne of the universe. And this nation is going to either be blessed or it's going to crumble based upon how we respond to Him. You can vote Him out of office. You can throw Him out of schools. You can throw Him out of whatever you want to do. But Jesus Christ is going to have the last word, because He will be judge and executioner if necessary. Sovereignty. Who is the sovereign of your life, and who is the sovereign of the nation? Secondly, some of the bedrock, the second foundation of this nation is service. John F. Kennedy, now he was president when I was little. Mike was talking about Reagan. John F. Kennedy was president when I was, and I just barely remember anything about him. But I've heard this quote many times. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Boy, nowadays it's the other way around. Ask what I can get free from my country. Now, number one, let me tell you, that's a lie. There's nothing free. If you didn't already know that, let me tell you, nothing is free. Phillips Craig and Ding said freedom is not free, and you're right. Salvation is not free. It cost Jesus Christ His life. It's not free. There is nothing free. You need to understand that. Kids, adults, whoever you are, there is nothing free. Somebody paid for it. Nothing is free. But part of the bedrock of this nation is not what you can get out of it, but what you can do for it. Unfortunately, by and large, we've stepped away from that. People think, oh, I'm entitled to this, that, and the other. I need it because I want it. Now, a five-year-old, you might expect them to say that. I want something, so I ought to have it. But an adult ought to know better. Just because you want something don't mean you ought to get it. I have seen it with my own eyes recently. I had heard it was a problem, but I have started seeing it even in this part of the country. Service. And this is just one example. People are too busy to serve. They're too busy to serve in church. They're too busy to serve outside of church. You may not know this, but over 75%, I think it's closer to 80%, of all emergency response personnel in the United States of America are volunteers. If you call 911 right here and right now, you're going to have a volunteer fire service respond. Now, you'll have a business ambulance, but you'll have a volunteer fire service respond. In 99% of this county, if you call for help, it's going to be a volunteer that responds to you, and thank God for them. But volunteers are becoming fewer and far between. The average age of the volunteers in these fire departments is not 20 years anymore. And we're beginning to see during the day, especially, if you call for help, sometimes it takes more than one department to respond to have enough personnel to help. The other night, they had to tone three separate volunteer fire departments to find enough firemen to help. Now, you might say, well, why? Well, you know, there's only so many, and there's fewer and fewer of them. But it goes back to this point that service is the bedrock of the nation. The militia that met the Redcoats at Lexington and Concord Green were not full-time paid professional soldiers. They were farmers, blacksmiths, accountants, or whoever else that picked up their musket and formed on the green to protect the rights. Service is the foundation of this nation, and we're getting away from that. We were talking this morning about churches. Now, thankfully, we haven't had to do that yet, but some churches have to hire somebody to keep the nursery, because nobody will volunteer to do it. I don't mean little churches either. I mean larger churches. They hire somebody to keep the nursery. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. My point is, are you hiring somebody because you want to get a professional person to do it? Or are you hiring somebody because nobody will step up and do it? Small churches are hampered a lot of times because there's not enough people. And those that will volunteer are overworked to death, because somebody else won't. You see, service is equal to love. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will follow me. Agape love is about service. If we want to be like Jesus, then service is part of who we are as Christians, or it should be. And service is what this nation ought to be about. Think about it today. On June the 6th, 1944, when those young men on those landing craft approached the beach of Omaha, Juneau, Gold, whatever, they knew what was going to be waiting for them. And the average age was 18 years old. And a lot of them, those white crosses you saw, most of those were at Normandy. A lot of them didn't make it off the landing craft very far. Yet they were willing to do that. And that brings up the third point, sacrifice. You can't have a nation exist without sacrifice. You can't have a church exist without sacrifice. The whole foundation of Christianity is about sacrifice. You hear me? It's about sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, sacrificed himself for you. And we are to be the same way. Jesus said, Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Agape love is all about sacrifice. It is selflessness. It's about not my will, but thine be done. Not what I want, Lord, but what you want. Give him the pen. Let him do it. This nation was secured by the sacrifice of countless men and women throughout the years. Don't ever forget it. And the only way it's going to be here any length of time later is if people continue to sacrifice for this nation. The church is only going to be here if we're willing to sacrifice. Because the church is just like the nation in the sense that it's only one generation away from not being here. Only one generation away. Sovereignty. Who rules? Service. Are you willing to serve? Because if you're not, who is going to? If not you, then who? Or if you're not willing to sacrifice, then you don't really love. Not really. If you're not willing to sacrifice, then you don't really know Jesus Christ, because he's all about sacrifice. As you start looking at the Old Testament and see the sacrificial systems, you see the Passover lamb shown, and it moves forward to the New Testament, and then you see everything comes into focus with the Passover lamb, with a capital P, Jesus Christ himself, our Passover lamb. So let me ask you, is this nation going to be here 200 years from now? I don't know. It's going to depend on you. and me, our children and our grandchildren, and whether or not Jesus Christ returns before then or not. But if this nation is going to continue to be one nation under God, then God's church is going to have to season the culture. I'm not talking about going out and starting a fight. I'm talking about season the culture with light, with love, with truth. I have just as much a right to say I don't believe that we're going the right way as somebody else has to say, oh, we need to do so and so. I can be just as loud as they can be. And it's okay. Here's your compass point. Ronald Reagan again. Without God, there is no virtue because there is no prompting of the conscience. Without God, there is a coarsening of the society. Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. Father, thank you for your love and your truth. Lord, we love this nation. Help us to be your salt here, to be your light here. Lord, help us to, first of all, make sure we are where we need to be in relationship to you. And then, Father, once we are sure we're there, then help us to go and make disciples. Wherever we go, work, family, friends, everything, everywhere. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. We are yours and this is your time. Help us respond to the guiding, to the urging, to the drawing of your Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.